Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 46.
David Krejci of the Boston Bruins. A hated hockey team for both of us.
Oh, totally.
We both hate Boston.
Yeah.
Adrian's got real reasons, though. Like,
oh, totally. Yeah. Like, they just robbed me of my hopes and dreams.
Yeah, they took out Vancouver in Game 7 after Vancouver was up 3-1 in the series.
Yep, 3-1.
Yeah.
All the stupid fans were like, oh, hope they lose so they can win in Vancouver. I was like, no, you. We need to just, I don't care if we win in Boston or Vancouver.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Sucked. And as you might be able to hear, Adrian has a cold.
We were supposed to record last week and I was too sick to record. I'm still in pretty rough shape.
You seriously have bad luck, man.
Like, I know.
You've been sick the entire year pretty much.
Pretty much.
It sucks.
Well, my body knew that there was a film festival going on and it was like, screw you, dude. You're getting sick.
Your body is a wonderland.
That's right.
That was really bad.
So John Mayer up in here.
Fucking John Mayer.
So what have you been up to since the last episode?
Not much, man. I haven't been watching a lot of movies, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, same here.
Not a lot out there. Watched a lot of Daredevil, though.
Nice. How is that?
It's been pretty badass.
Nice.
My fucking Manchester United Red Devils lost to your Liverpool Reds.
Was that Europa, right?
Europa League. Quarterfinals.
Right. I'll take it.
They look terrible. I didn't think Liverpool looked that good either. I thought both teams kind of sucked.
They were pretty bad.
And I guess it's all about qualifying for Champions League next year for both of our teams.
Yeah, and you guys took a big step today.
Yeah, because your team's going to get fucking smoked by Borussia Dortmund in the semis.
That's right.
Yeah, so. And as you can tell, no South by Southwest for Adrian, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm fine with that because as I was watching the tweets and social media and reviews popping out, it felt like a higher percentage of films that people were watching, I'll be like, well, I'm seeing that next month or 2 months down the road kind of thing. So,
you know, and instead of dropping, what, like $2,000 or $3,000?
Yeah, minimum $2,000.
Easily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. I still want to go to that festival one time. I can't spend the money. It's something in my brain says no.
Yeah. But it's tough.
Sounds like you had fun last year, though. So
yeah, I had a lot of fun.
But yeah, man, other than that, that's about it. I haven't done much.
Oh, yeah?
Which is funny, because we had like an extra week. And
I know, right?
Still nothing going on.
Yeah. I only watched, I think, two movies with that extra week.
Wow.
I couldn't sit and watch a movie straight all the way through, because I was so sick and miserable. But my body did make time for The Division on PS4.
Nice.
So if you're listening and you play The Division, hit me up because I need friends for The Division and people to party up with. It's a lot of fun.
And on what console?
PS4.
PS4, nice.
Yeah, all about it.
Nice. I thought you might have got on Xbox One. But
no, I have my PS4 hooked up to a computer monitor that's built for gaming, and I enjoy that a lot more. Like, I like having my face basically pressed right to the screen. Can't do that in the living room on the TV, so.
I bought an Xbox One, and I swear I've turned it on like once this year.
Oh, really?
That's really bad.
For me, it just so happens that it's the PS4 hooked up to my computer monitor, so I like them both.
Yeah, I played Rock Band on Xbox One. That's about it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice, right on.
Pretty sad. It's like $500 that I've used once this year.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Crazy.
That's crazy, it, man. Crazy. That's it for me.
All right. You ready to get on with the rest of the show?
Sure.
All right. Let's start out with some rant action. This is where we rant about anything movie related. So what do you have for us this episode?
Why are people complaining about getting an R-rated cut of Batman versus Superman on Blu-ray? Do you guys not understand that movie costs like $300 million and you cannot make it R-rated?
Exactly.
People have to see it. If you're an R-rated film, you just completely screw yourself.
Yeah.
Deadpool, different. Not an established character that nobody really knew about Deadpool. Everybody knows about Batman and Superman. Probably the second biggest film of the year.
That, and they have merchandise to sell.
Like, yeah.
It's more than just the movie. They need to get the product out there. They need to get families in the seats. You can't do that with an R-rated film.
Yeah, part of that $300 million that they spent is going to be paid for by, I don't know, Burger King.
That's right.
Doing little like Batmobile toys and shit.
Yeah.
Can't do an R-rated film.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I heard it's pretty violent.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Right on, dude. Yeah. Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm seeing it Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be working.
Ah, sucks.
Work ruins everything.
Oh, man. Brutal. Man,
that's it for me.
Cool, man. For me, I thought I'd change it up a little bit. I always complain about people on Twitter and stuff. My rant is about the local movie theater with their dirty floors. I went to place my bag of popcorn on the ground. I was like, wait, there's a whole bunch of popcorn there. And then I looked a little closer. They just swept all the garbage underneath the seats. And that is just so gross. I'm actually going to follow up with Cineplex to complain about that. Because I was just totally repulsed. I was like, oh, that's nasty. That's gross.
Nothing like turning your local theater into a petri dish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, it is disgusting. Maybe that's why I'm sick now. Who knows? These kinds of things add up. But yeah,
no, I think you were pretty fucked to begin with. Like,
on that. That's true. That's true.
Have you been upping your vitamin C content?
Sarah's been giving me a whole bunch of stuff, and I think that's in there. So
she's probably giving you too much now. It's all fucked up.
Maybe. Yeah, but I've been taking supplements and stuff. And
cool.
Yeah, that's it for me.
All right, cool.
All right, you ready to get into the main reviews?
What are we doing first, sir?
How about 10 Cloverfield Lane?
That'll work.
Cool. All right, so here we go. Let's talk about 10 Cloverfield Lane.
40 feet underground. 3 years worth of food and water. Everyone outside of here is dead. I saved your life by bringing you here.
What was that?
Quiet.
Your arm, weren't you trying to escape?
I was trying to get in.
How do you know that this is real?
Open that door! Something's coming.
Cool. So 10 Cloverfield Lane. This one has been... it's J.J. Abrams' mystery box all over again. So, Bill, what's this movie about?
Directed by Dan Trachtenberg. After getting in a car accident, a woman is held in a shelter with two men who claim the outside world is affected by something. The IMDb quote had... bit of a spoiler, so I changed that last word. Don't quite... The less you know, the better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And shame on them for spoiling it.
That's brutal.
Yeah, like, I listened to the last podcast we did. You bleep something I said, because the IMDb thing was a complete spoiler.
Oh, totally.
And I said it, and you bleeped it. Good for you for bleeping it, but yeah. They should know better.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. And yeah, that's the thing. We're not here to talk spoilers for 10 Cloverfield Lane. We never talk spoilers for our movies. That's just our style. Some people think it's hard to talk about it without spoiling, but I don't think that's going to be the case here.
No, I don't think so either.
What did you think of the movie?
I loved it.
Right on, dude.
For a movie that I didn't even know existed like a month and a half ago, this sure came on like gangbusters, and damn, did it deliver, man.
Oh, totally.
Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. It's just like pure tension, and the pacing is just outstanding for like a claustrophobic thriller with three people on screen. They did a lot with that.
And every time you think it's running out of steam, they just add something.
Oh, yeah.
And it just pumps it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So we got Mary Elizabeth Winstead, John Goodman, and John Gallagher Jr.
Yes.
Somebody at my work was like, who's John Gallagher Jr.?
Oh, man. Did you give him the...
I gave him
the... WTF?
Yeah, I gave him the short-term 12 speech and, yeah, and the newsroom, which I'm a big fan of.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Give it up for John Goodman.
Oh, he is a force in just this one.
A beast in this film.
he's so great.
Yeah, we all knew he was good, but this might be my favorite Goodman performance other than Lebowski. I think he's so good in Lebowski.
Right on.
But he is really great in this film. Some people are already talking about John Goodman for an Oscar.
Oh, jeez.
Fuck, it's March, people. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, he was just outstanding. He really walks a lot of lines in this movie. Like, what I mean by that is he's very creepy, he's very scary, but at the same time he's very nurturing in a weird kind of way. You don't know whether to believe everything he's saying or just completely be like, this guy is the mayor of Crazy Town.
But every time he gets angry, it's because they don't do what he says.
Yeah.
If they just did what he said the entire film, it would have been a beautifully nice movie that nothing happened. It would have been like perfect. That didn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so much fun watching this movie unfold and these characters just bring a lot to the table. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead, another just great performance from her. Like, I have something written down here that's really cheesy, but she's as talented as she is beautiful, because she looks outstanding on the big screen. And her performance is also really great. That's refreshing.
Adrian's crushing hard on Mary big Elizabeth. Time. Nice.
I was getting lost in those eyes of Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
You would think that them being in a bunker for like an hour would be really boring, but it's not. That's a testament to the film. I thought it was really good.
There's some scenes too where it's simultaneously scary and absolutely hilarious. Like, there's one sequence in particular that John Goodman sells. I was howling, just laughing so hard. If you've seen the film, you may know the part I'm talking about, but I was in on that gag right away, and it was a good tension breaker. Like, you could feel the audience just kind of take a deep breath and let out some laughter and move on.
I've seen the trailer like a bunch of times, and the scene of John Goodman pressing the buttons on the jukebox and then shaking his ass still makes me laugh.
It's amazing.
It's funny.
It's great.
It's weird. I've seen videos of John Goodman now. He's lost a ton of weight.
Oh, really?
He's really thin.
Yeah.
And he looks really weird, because so used to John Goodman from like Roseanne. And
yeah,
he just looks totally different. You know, good for him. He's not a young man anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But has everybody not seen this already? Like, why haven't you seen this if you haven't seen it?
Exactly.
There's nothing playing right now.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing out there.
No, like,
until Friday.
This is the goods, man. I love it.
Yeah, 10 Cloverfield Lane is just a blast. I actually went to see it twice because I enjoyed it that much.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you were to star rate it,
I'd give it a 4.5 out of 5.
That's what I'm giving it to.
Nice. Yeah.
We're getting some riches this year, man.
Yeah, there's been some gems in there.
Yeah, like, it's just shocked at how good some of these films have been. There's been some real crap film, too, but it's been good, man.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else to say about 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No, man. It's cool. It's great. Go and check it out.
Yeah, check it out. We both recommend it. All right, so let's move on to our next movie. This is an animated film called Zootopia.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me? Mm-hmm. Down here? Hi.
O.M. goodness. They really did hire a bunny.
What?
I gotta tell you, you are even cuter than I thought you'd be.
Ooh, you probably didn't know, but a bunny can call another bunny cute, but when other animals do it, it's a little...
I am so sorry. Me, Benjamin Clawhauser, the guy everyone thinks is just a flabby donut-loving cop stereotyping you. Oh.
It's okay. Oh. You've actually got... There's a...
What?
In your neck, the fold... What? The... Mm-hmm, there's...
Oh, where you went, you little dickens? Oh.
I should get a roll call. So, which way do I...
Oh, bullpen's over there to the left.
Great. Thank you.
Aw, that poor little buddy's gonna get eaten alive.
All right, so, Zootopia. What's this one all about?
Three directors here. Byron Howard, Rich Moore, and Jared Bush. In a city of... anthropomorphic, goddamn, animals, a rookie bunny cop and a cynical con artist, Fox, must work together to uncover a conspiracy.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Hey, this movie's all about the little guy.
Yeah.
Taking on the big guy.
I love its message, man. Just, you know, keep on trying and eventually you might prosper.
Exactly.
The whole idea of the... a small little bunny being a cop, and she's just like the biggest spark plug and just refuses to give up and finds a new way to do everything because she's so small.
Yeah.
Just keeps on trucking, man.
Oh, totally.
That's great.
Yeah. It's a great, great message. And for anybody who maybe hasn't seen the trailer or seen the movie, the rest of the cops are like really large animals, like elephants and apes and stuff, and massively strong.
Yeah. We're animals. Talking like, 5 or 6 feet of difference in height.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I just wish the rest of the film kind of had the spark that little plot part had. Like, I just found this film to be kind of ordinary.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film. I just didn't think it was very, like, I'm going to use something that Adrian, this is going to piss Adrian off.
Do it.
This is no Big Hero 6.
Oh, you son of a That movie sucked. Oh,
I love that movie. Oh. And that was their, I think, their last big one.
Oh, was
this,
it?
This is Disney animation. This isn't Pixar. Yeah, Disney animation.
Disney animation, yeah. I think I'm in the same sort of boat with you. Like, I really enjoyed it. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh, I'm loving this. But at the same time, I was like, well, I've seen this story before. This story's been done to bits. And, but the execution I really enjoyed. I thought Jennifer Goodwin, she plays the bunny rabbit, and Jason Bateman plays the fox. I thought both of them were just so adorable together.
Jason Bateman just doing his Arrested Development character, more or less.
Oh, yeah. Sarcastic asshole.
But you know what? I love Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
And he works really well in the film. Jennifer Godwin is really good in it, too. I just thought they both had really good chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best part of the film, I thought. Their whole dynamic together.
Yeah.
It just had some weird pacing issues. Everything is foreshadowed.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It has couple of really weird adult jokes.
Right.
One that goes on for a long time that kids would not get.
Yeah, a reference to a film that, not everybody has seen.
A really violent R-rated film.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a really super violent television show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
Spoiler free. But, I get you got to put some jokes in for the parents who are taking their kids, but it didn't really mesh for me. It was a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it did stick out a little bit. And, but yeah, I had so much fun with it. And I know that there's this one bit that I think probably annoyed you because it played in the trailers and before everything.
The sloth. Oh my God, the sloth.
I was dying. Like, really? Invention of laughter. Believe it or not, I didn't see that prior to the movie.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, I just didn't see it in any of the trailers. So when they go to the DMV and have to get some information from a sloth, you know, he talks slow and oh man, ha. It was so funny.
No,
yeah, I dug it. I thought
really?
It was funny.
Oh, I saw the trailer a bunch of times and it drove me nuts. I was really hoping that whole sloth bit would not be in there, but
right,
they show the entire part pretty much in the trailer.
That's, yeah, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, so, that part didn't work for me at all. Yeah. There is a funny bit at the end, though.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, there's not a lot to this movie, and I think that's fine when it comes to entertaining children, because, like you said in the beginning, this carries a really good message, and I think that's worthwhile for children, and adults might get something out of it as well.
I would rather they see this than Kung Fu Panda 3.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Not even in the same league. Like this one, this one's just way better. Yeah. Did you see it in 3D or 2D?
3D. It was basically useless in 3D.
Yeah,
there was no 3D aspect.
Terrible. Yeah. Just stop doing 3D. It's not working anymore. It's like they just slap it on. They're not even trying anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It was really dark.
It was.
My 3D was really dark. I couldn't see parts of it almost.
Yeah.
It was almost as like that movie, The Finest Hours.
Oh, yeah.
So dark.
Yeah, there was times when it took place at nighttime in a jungle and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
For a movie that I thought would be really bright and just like pop, this movie did nothing for me in 3D. Which isn't the fault of the movie. I should have saw it in 2D.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Cool. Well, I guess, yeah, maybe go see it. Would you recommend
it? No, I'd recommend it for kids.
Yeah.
I just don't think you're going to get a lot out of it if you're an adult.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Because you'll see everything 10 minutes before it happens.
Yeah.
Which takes a lot away from the movie as far as I'm concerned.
It does.
Yeah.
It does for sure.
You know, I was watching TV earlier and WALL-E was on. That film was not made for kids.
No, definitely not.
And they took a lot of kids to it, and they didn't get it. This is the exact opposite.
Right.
Adults are just going to hate this, I think.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, they get so, like, telegraphed.
Yeah.
It's a lukewarm, like, 3, 3.5 out of 5 for me.
I'd agree with that. Same thing.
Yeah. Definitely can see worse.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of worse, let's talk about our third and final full review for this episode. Let's talk about London Has Fallen.
There was no chatter on this. None. Something of this magnitude, it took years to plan, and we had days.
It's a bloodbath. How did they do this, Mike?
We only have to get it right once. Today they got it right way more than that.
All right, so London Has Fallen. Did IMDb bother with a synopsis for this?
They did.
Okay.
It's directed by Babak Najafi. In London, for the English Prime Minister's funeral, the president's security team once again has to protect the president after another stupid plot device attacks them.
Exactly. Is that what they put in the synopsis?
No, I changed it a bit.
That's awesome.
Fucking hated this film.
Me too.
Just a movie for stupid people.
Yeah, simpletons.
Oh, something went boom.
Oh,
somebody
cool.
got shot.
Oh,
come on. The first one was terrible.
Yeah.
And I guess it made money.
Yeah.
But, this I can't even come close. How can you recommend this to anybody with any kind of taste?
Yeah.
You can't.
It's insulting. Like, if you wanted to insult somebody, you'd be like, yeah, go see London Has Fallen. You'll like it. They'll call you an asshole afterwards.
Totally. Gerard Butler.
Yes.
Yes. Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Who else is in this? Jackie Earl Haley's in this.
Yeah, kind of weirdly. Paycheck movie.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to eat, man.
Everybody's got to eat in this one. That's what they should have called it.
Totally.
Morgan Freeman's got to eat, yo.
Like, isn't it pretty much the exact same plot as the first film?
I believe so.
With a little bit of like a higher set piece count?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I guessed at what was going to happen because I seen the first one and knew the plot.
Right.
I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, a movie like this, I might be able to enjoy on some level if it had any interesting action. But the action stuff was just, it was like faceless henchmen running out and getting shot by Gerard Butler. And that was it. There was no style to it. There's no flair. There's no cool camera tricks. No cool Michael Bay explosions.
Nice. I like how nobody in these films are trained.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's just Gerard Butler. All these people working for these terrorists have never shot a gun before
or
never taken tactical training.
Yeah.
They're all just there to get shot.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
And there is one bit. This is going to sound really nitpicky, but these are the kinds of things that bother me when I'm watching movies. There's a bit where they run into this dark, like, alley, pretty much. All you see are just shadowy figures off in the distance, like blocks away, two blocks away. And Gerard Butler goes, RPG! And then this rocket comes flying in and they hit the deck and it blows up behind them. And I was like, how could he see that RPG in the freaking dark? Are you kidding?
Because he's wearing his Call of Duty exosuit.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it came up on his heads-up display.
Totally.
He's got, oh, that guy's got an RPG. That guy's got, I don't know. So stupid, though.
Everything about this film, just stupid. I feel really embarrassed for the talent in the film, but you know what? You get what you deserve. You took the money.
That's right.
Sorry.
What's her name that's in this movie?
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett.
She has this amazing line. That would be a spoiler if I said it.
Yeah.
But something happens, and she says this line that I'm in a packed theater, and I just start laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you laughing, people? This is like the most terrible line ever said in a movie.
Yeah.
And on top of that, man, is there some bro in this film.
Oh, man.
Lots of bro.
Testosterone just drips off the screen. In the beginning, they're jogging, and Gerard Butler starts jogging backwards, and he's like, "What factory did they build you in? Whoa, you're so fast. Oh, your cock's dangling so low."
I also love that they throw in this really shitty subplot about how Gerard Butler shouldn't be going to London because his wife's about to give birth.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, he's trying to retire or something.
And the president's like, "No, man, you shouldn't go." He's like, "No, man, you shouldn't go. You should stay. Your wife's going to give birth any second." He's like, "No, man, I got to go. I got a job to do."
That's right. He's so going to watch bro. Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a really weird homophobic joke that Gerard Butler made in the movie that just seemed out of nowhere. Like, Aaron Eckhart jumps out of this room that he was hiding in while Gerard Butler killed like 10 guys. And Butler turns to him and goes, "I was wondering when you were going to come out of the closet." What?
Oh, my God.
That's... Oh, I hate stuff like that. Like, what decade are we living in where that's acceptable and or funny? It was not funny. It's just... I hate stuff like that.
Maybe the script writers watched Get Hard beforehand.
Or maybe Entourage. Or, yeah, or something like that. Bad movie.
So yeah, this was a piece of shit, man.
Absolute piece of shit.
Give it a 1 out of 5.
That's about where I'd land. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, movies for idiots.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so there's our main reviews for this episode. Are you ready for some movie club action?
Sure.
Let's do it. So this episode, Bill picked the Barbarian Invasions for us to watch and talk about this episode. So for anybody who is not aware, what's this movie all about?
So during a man's final days, he is reconnected with old friends, former lovers, his ex-wife, and his estranged son. And it's more or less the tale of dying.
Yeah.
Which sounds really, you know, not good. But it's a really happy, nice, joyous film.
It really is.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Directed by Denis Arcand, 2003, won the Best Foreign Film Oscar.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Was like my number two movie of that year, I believe.
Wow.
As I said last episode, has nice little sentimental value because it was my first gala film at the Vancouver International Film Festival.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I loved this film. What did you think?
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I haven't landed on how much I enjoyed it just yet because I think I was putting up my defenses again a little bit and trying to be a tough guy, but I definitely did lose it in the end. I was like, that was a losing cause.
Can I just say that I rewatched it and was a bloody mess at the end.
Oh yeah.
I was like uncontrollably crying.
Yeah.
I think the thing that hits me really hard is I don't really have a great relationship with my parents.
Oh, I see.
So I kind of think this is going to be me in 20 years.
Oh, I see.
Trying to like reconcile, you know, two weeks before my parents die.
Right.
And that kind of scares me.
Yeah.
Because I don't really talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this felt really like home to me, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. But, I know you have a good relationship with your parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's partially why, again, this is what I always talk about, the life experiences we take into these movies, and it affects the way we react to these movies. Yeah, for me, super, super close to my parents. Talk to them every single week and tell them I love them every time I see them or talk to them. Doesn't matter where I am. So yeah, this one hit me really hard because my father has had multiple brushes with death, and it's scary. He had health issues, and there were times when the doctors would straight up tell us he may not make it. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, dealing with death is a regular thing for me, and this film really, really scared me because it's something I don't like to think about, but I know it's always there. Like, it can happen to any of us, right? Like walking down the street, dangerous drivers, blah, blah, blah. But to know that somebody is very close to death, I've been there, and it's tough. I was actually there in the room with my grandfather when he passed away. And it hit me pretty hard. It was just a beautiful, beautiful film. Really enjoyed it.
So Remy Gerard plays Remy.
Right. Yeah.
Nice. He's the man dying. You might know Remy Gerard from Incendie.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay. So yeah, he plays the lawyer who helps the twins find their stuff. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
He's awesome. Oh, he's just an amazing performance. Just how he's so full of life, even though he's dying, and he just has these amazing conversations with everybody, and it's brilliant stuff. When I rewatched it, I totally forgot how bad the hospital he was in.
Oh yeah, it's like people in the hallways,
it's completely falling apart, shit everywhere. The first little bit is him kind of meeting his son again, but I don't think the film really starts until his friends show up.
Yeah.
I love his friends.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah, and it kicks into another gear when the friends arrive. But, you know, he's dying. Yeah. And he's going to die. Like, we all know this. And it sort of becomes like a comfort of life issue. So their whole idea is that, you know, for pain management, they're going to get him heroin.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thing. Like, you don't expect that to happen. And the son, Sebastian, one of Remy's friends, has a daughter who's an addict. And they connect up. They were childhood friends. And she becomes like the person who gives them the heroin. And the whole dynamic between them and the son and everything is just so beautiful. Like there's a scene where he goes through withdrawal.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this film, man. everything about it. To think that, you know, I'm not much of a Canadian film lover.
Right.
And I think this might be the best Canadian film I've ever seen.
Right on.
I know Xavier Dolan might have something to say about that. He's got a big mouth. But I love this film. The ending.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, just a body slam.
like if you don't cry watching this film at the end, you're dead. Like there's nothing there for you.
There's
like
nothing behind those eyes.
Yeah, like it's him saying goodbye to everybody and with dignity, and he's just gonna go out the way he wants to go out. Marie-Josée Croze, who plays the heroine woman, the childhood friend, who I love, by the way.
Right on.
Love.
Yeah.
Right after that scene, she runs into the kitchen and grabs a bottle of methadone and downs it.
Yeah.
And I think, Jesus, do you got some for me?
Like, yeah.
Wow, this is so hard to watch and touching and everything about it. It's just so great. I love this film.
Yeah. And at first, I'm going to tell you something that maybe, I don't know if it crossed your mind at all, but it took me a while to get into it because for me, again, this is my background, my ethnicity coming into play here. All I'm thinking is, oh man, here's a white privilege movie with rich white people. And it took me a little while to get past that. But once I did, man, I was all the way on the ride.
That's cool, man. glad you really liked it. It's so weird too, because you're like the one who's like the crier on the show.
No, big time.
And it doesn't sound like you lost it as bad as I did.
Oh, I did quite hard.
I still remember seeing this film at that film festival, and I was just done. Like I was crying my eyes out at the end of the film. And I don't cry at films.
Oh, yeah.
It's really rare.
Yeah.
I got a nice little Roger Ebert quote here for you.
Nice. Bring it on.
Because, you know,
you gotta
pay homage to the master.
He's the man.
About the barbarian invasions, he says, dying is not cheerful, but we need to think about it. We need to think that it is. The Barbarian Invasions is a movie about a man who dies about as pleasantly as it's possible to imagine. The audience sheds happy tears with him. Thank you, Roger Ebert.
Man, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
Yeah.
a perfect star review from Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
This is where I would put it.
Cool.
Glad you liked it, man.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It's one that I think I'll enjoy. I know for sure I'll enjoy it more the next time because I know what to expect. I know some of the beats. For some reason, I had my guard up for a little bit. But towards the end, I just felt myself letting my guard down and just got, yeah, destroyed. When one of his friends went to hug him, I was just like, oh, man, like I'm putting myself in those shoes of the friend or the sick man or the son watching from a few steps away. And the way they handle it is just, it feels real. Like yeah. None of it felt like acting. It all just felt so organic. And I can't imagine the amount of trust they all had on set together. Like that's just an outstanding ensemble piece. Like just loved it.
A couple of the little small, little funny things. I really enjoy the cop character played by Roy Dupuis.
Oh yeah.
He became a really big actor like 5 years later.
Yeah.
He just shows up for a little bit of comic. He shows up for comic relief. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And Denny Arcand himself is in the movie.
Oh, really?
You know, the hospital union guys?
Yeah.
The guy with the kind of curly hair and the mustache, he gives him his laptop back.
Oh, no way.
It's Denny Arcand.
Oh, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
Another little weird little anecdote. A couple years ago at the Vancouver International Film Festival, I was there to see his new film. After Barbarian Invasions, he kind of hasn't made a good film, which is really sad, but it's Denny Arcand. I'm going to check the film out. And out of nowhere, he showed up.
Oh, wow.
He was filming in the town and found out his film was playing at the fest and just showed up unannounced.
Oh, wow.
And talked about how he couldn't stay for a Q&A, so he talked for like 10 minutes.
Oh, cool.
And the crowd worshipped him, obviously, and gave him a huge standing ovation. And it was one of the cooler moments maybe ever at the film festival.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, just how everybody just loved him. And I could have listened to him talk for 20 more minutes. The film wasn't very good.
Oh, that's too bad.
Sucks, but yeah. I'll always remember that little moment.
Oh, that's cool, dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, Barbarian Invasions. Yes.
Yes. So what do you have for us next episode?
So I had this weird little thought a couple days ago about how Adrian wasn't going to South by Southwest, and I think he wanted to go, and I was like, oh, that sucks. But I got a cool idea. How would I do North by Northwest by Alfred Hitchcock?
Right, right.
And then I'm like, you know what? Nah, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
I want to take something up to the next level.
Nice.
Yeah. So weirdly, I was going through my stuff, writing my notes, and I'm like, shit, man, I got a next level film from Aaron Eckhart back in the day.
Aaron Eckhart?
Adrian might really dig.
Nice.
And this might be the film that might break Adrian.
Wow.
This episode's Movie Club movie is In the Company of Men from 1997, directed by Neil LaBute.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Holy shit, this is one of those beast films that you've probably never seen, but probably should have seen.
Really?
You might find this really harsh.
Right.
It's not a nice film.
Okay.
There's no violence in it. There's no whatever. But this might be on the level of a Serbian film.
Oh, no way,
it's
dude.
Really harsh.
Wow. Wow.
And I don't know how you're going to take it. And that's, right. And that's why you're watching it. Cause I want to know how you're going to take it.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, it's really bad, brutal, but I think it's a masterpiece.
Right on, dude.
And I read Roger Ebert's review of it before you came here.
Yeah.
And, I was like, yep, that's definitely the film.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. So here you go. It's available on DVD only, I believe.
Okay.
And a really piss poor transfer because I watched it earlier.
Okay.
But yeah, it's fucking brutally spectacular, man.
Right on.
I can't wait for you to talk about it because nice. I got a lot to say about
nice.
It.
Nice. That's awesome.
So yeah, In the Company of Men.
Cool. Yeah. So if you want to join us, join the movie club, you can watch the film In the Company of Men by April 3rd. send us your comments through Twitter or Facebook, and we'll read them on the show. We've had other people join us, and that was awesome. So, yeah, we always like to encourage any kind of participation from our listeners.
Shout out to the Movie Bear podcast coverage of South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Brad, Jim, Will. Good job, guys.
Yeah, good job, you guys. Always fun to listen to you guys. And yeah, that's the thing. Like, if it wasn't for going to South by Southwest last year, I wouldn't have met those guys. So that's a big, big bonus of attending last year.
Cool, man.
All right. So let's move into our next section, the lightning round. This is just where we offer brief snippets of what we thought of other movies we watched between last episode and this episode. So what's on your lightning round reviews?
So we'll start with one that I know we've both seen. Stephen Chow's latest movie, The Mermaid.
Yes, The Mermaid.
I think you liked this one a lot more than I did.
Oh, I love this film.
Really?
I did, yeah.
Okay, cool. I couldn't get with it.
Really?
Almost to the point where I thought the subtitles were faulty.
No way.
Some kind of way, because the crowd was eating it up.
Yeah.
By the way, I was the only non-Asian in my screening.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. To the point where the manager of the theater even said something to me. He's like, you're going to be the only white person in the theater.
Oh, no way.
I'm like, cool, I don't care.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I love Stephen Chow.
Yeah.
This one didn't connect at all.
Really?
No, it didn't. Wow. Did nothing for me.
Oh.
I thought it was cheesy. I thought the quote-unquote plot was stupid.
Wow.
Yeah, it did nothing for me. And I love Stephen Chow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, obviously, you've probably seen Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
Have you seen Shaolin Soccer?
Shaolin Soccer, yeah.
Have you seen God of Cookery?
I haven't seen that one.
Guys, you got a cookery, man.
I think the only other one I've seen is...
CJ7?
Journey to the West.
Yeah. I didn't like that one either.
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We seem to have got off our little love fest. I'm just not digging the Stephen Chow anymore. Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was sweet and charming. I was laughing quite a bit through the whole film. And it carried a really strong social message that I did not see coming. And I liked it. I liked that he had something to say with this film, because I don't think every filmmaker needs to have something like a really strong statement, bold statement to make with every film. But when it happens, I like that. So it seemed like he had something to say with this one.
I did like one thing in it. The octopus guy.
Oh, he was cool.
He was cool. I liked him. He was fun. The other film that I think you've seen, you've seen another one too. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yes. Tina Fey.
Really kind of a boring little film.
This felt like the kind of film that Julia Roberts or Sandra Bullock does, and I hate them for it, but with Tina Fey in it.
I didn't really mind the reporting stuff. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Just everything else around it, like the love stories and all that, I didn't care at all.
Yeah.
Also, can we also stop telling everybody that Tina Fey isn't good looking? I'm getting a little tired of that.
Yeah, what's up with that?
She's good looking.
She is hot, dude.
She's hot. She's not Margot Robbie hot, but nobody is.
No, nobody is.
Yeah, but she's hot.
Yeah.
Give it up.
Yeah, and there's a bit in the beginning where she's like, back home, you're like a 5 or a 6. And it's like, what?
No, she's not.
No, she is a 9.
Yeah, so part of me was like, okay, this... You know, could have been an okay movie, maybe a better director. I'm like, no, it couldn't have.
No.
Just didn't work.
Yeah. And the casting was really weird. Like, you've got that white dude playing Afghan.
Christopher Abbott.
Yeah.
From New York.
Yeah.
Played an Afghan, and nobody's talked about it.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I thought he was actually pretty good.
He actually was. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, like he was
awesome.
Yeah, he was good. He was probably the best part of the film, actually.
He was.
He was completely unrecognizable, and that's cool. I don't have a problem with people playing other races.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. Maybe you should not do that.
Yeah.
Because people do get offended by it.
And what's his name? Hang on a sec.
Oh, Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina. Yeah, his fake beard in the movie was a bigger war crime than the fake baby in American Sniper. It was so bad.
It was pretty bad. That baby was really bad too, though.
It was pretty bad.
Damn.
Yeah, this film, it's the kind of film that tricks you into thinking it's a good movie, but it's so bad. Like, it's just, it doesn't gel. It's just tons of, like, undercooked stories. The whole sexuality thing, I think you could just cut it all out and it would be a better movie for it. Because, like, the whole time she's like, oh, you got to hook up with your guard, and you got to hook up with these guys and this guy. You're a 10. You should take advantage of it. And it's like, they didn't really go anywhere interesting with that. And it seemed like they had something to say with Afghanistan and how boring, quote unquote boring, it became at one point. But the only thing that brought attention to Afghanistan in the movie was white people. Yeah. This plot device at the end involving white people. And I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, but dude, I got cereal for that.
Pardon me?
I got cereal for that.
Yeah, just listen to cereal.
Yeah. Oh, Bergdahl got bored and left.
Yeah, that's right.
Next.
Yes, next.
Jane Got a Gun.
Okay, I haven't seen this.
Natalie Portman in a Western.
Oh, how is it?
Sounds like a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice looking girl. Not a very good film. Really boring.
No, too bad.
Yeah, just a bunch of men going after Natalie Portman's husband. There's a big battle at the end. It's a really standard, boring film.
Every Western ever.
Yeah, pretty much. You don't need to see that one.
Yeah.
Another movie I know you've seen, Laser Team.
Ooh. So bad.
Wow, this was terrible.
Right?
You totally warned me, too. Why did I watch this?
Yeah, it's so terrible.
It's one of those Austin, Texas movies.
Yeah, made by the folks behind Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, so I think they're all local Austin guys. So yeah. Everybody at the Austin film festivals love this film.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Adrian doesn't have festival goggles.
No. I wrote a pretty scathing review of it out of Fantastic Fest.
So, yeah, skip that one. It's a piece of garbage.
Yeah, skip it.
It's really bad. Divergence. Okay, the Divergent series, because I got to call it the full name.
Yeah.
Allegiant.
Yeah.
Shit.
Nice.
Hated this film.
Oh.
Yeah, don't see this one either. I'm not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Why did I see it? Oh. Adrian hasn't seen any of them.
No.
He is smart.
I'm done with young adult films.
Yeah, needed more Katniss.
Yeah.
And last but definitely least, The Brothers Grimsby.
Oh, no.
The worst film of the year.
Really?
By far.
Wow.
Not even close. I'll have more about this like on the mid-year show. I don't even need to talk about it right now.
Wow.
It's that bad.
That bad.
Just don't see it.
Yeah.
If you need to see Mark Strong covered in elephant semen, this is your film.
Oh, wow.
But if you don't, never see this.
Yeah. Get into the roots of comedy.
Fuck.
Brutal.
Sacha Baron Cohen, you're done, dude.
Yeah.
I got nothing for you.
He's been done for a while. Well, we'll see.
And that's it for me, man.
Nice. I've got a couple more to add. I went to Vancouver a couple weeks ago and went to the Van City Theater. Love it there. And saw Embrace of the Serpent.
Yes.
What a fucking cool movie.
That's
man.
A cool film.
It's shot in, where is it, Colombia?
Something like that. It's been a while since I've seen it. So
a rainforest.
Yeah.
Very remote. We're talking like tribes that are basically untouched and...
Where Eli Roth finds his cannibals.
Pretty much, yeah. It follows two storylines. One man is going deep, deep into the woods to find this rare flower that he thinks will cure him. And through his journal, through his writings, his memoirs, pretty much, he wrote a book about it all. And this one guy shows up later, many years later, who read his book and is looking for the same thing. And the stories are I don't want to comment on how similar they are or anything. It's just two really fascinating stories with great performances and just some of the craziest, like, local tribes kind of stuff we've seen since Apocalypse Now. Like,
it reminded me of the book that Apocalypse Now was based on, Hearts of Darkness.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you see the movie Borgman?
No, I didn't.
Okay, yeah, the guy who's the lead in Borgman is the lead in Brace of the Serpent.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that movie and I yelled out, Borgman!
That's right.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to see that one. Yeah. That one kicks ass.
And beautiful photography through the whole film. Just so much to watch. So much to take in. I can't wait to watch it again.
I remember you texted me right after you saw it, and you were like, man, that's a trip.
I know. That's all I could come up with. It's like, man, I felt like I was high the whole time. And finally, since its theatrical release, I finally picked up the Criterion and watched Inside Llewyn Davis on Blu-ray and fell in love all over again. And you mentioned something really cool, which got me Google searching stuff. Remember there's that bit where he calls the professor's office and he's like, tell him I have his cat. Llewyn has his cat.
Yeah.
And the lady goes, Llewyn is the cat?
Yeah.
There's a big theory that the cat is actually Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, because it's a Joel and Ethan Coen film.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Like, that shit's got a broken narrative all through the film.
Yeah. They don't paint inside the lines, those guys. No. Beautiful film.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac is haunting in that film, man.
He is, truly.
So great.
Yeah.
It was very high on my list that year.
All right. I love that film. Yeah. Yeah,
really. How's the Blu-ray, by the way?
It's outstanding.
Shit, I gotta buy that.
Lots of cool features. There's a conversation with the Coens and Guillermo del Toro, and that's cool because they're just three cinephiles just talking about movies, and it's awesome. So, yeah, I highly recommend the Criterion release of that.
Criterions are so expensive in Canada.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah.
I think that one set me back about $37 or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that it?
That's it for me.
Right on.
Cool. So, what do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks?
So, on March 25th, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
Don't need to say a lot about that one.
That's
Can't
right.
Can't wait. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Ooh.
Are you going to see that?
Probably not. I haven't seen the first.
Haven't you?
No.
God, you're that guy.
I'm that guy.
You're that guy. I'll see it for the podcast. I remember kind of liking the first one, but it was so overplayed.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was talking about it, and I kind of like lost interest in it.
Yeah.
It had a TV show, too. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was bad. I saw the light.
Oh, yeah, this is the, what's his name, Loki's movie.
Yeah, it was the closing gala of the Vancouver International Film Festival last year, and I still remember my tweet after I saw the film. I said, I did not see the light.
Oh, nice.
It is really bad. It's a shitty biopic.
That's too bad.
Yeah, don't see that one. I'm already telling you not to. Don't see it.
Don't see it.
It got delayed. It was supposed to come out like last year for Oscars, and then somebody watched it and said, oh, shit.
Oh, bad movie.
Yeah. The new Nanni Moretti film, Mia Madre. Do you know who Nanni Moretti is?
I don't
know. Italian director. I like his stuff. Makes really good films. Cool. Can't wait to see that one. It's limited. We'll probably never see it here. April 1st, a movie called Collide. I've never even heard of it.
No, I haven't heard of that.
But check this cast out. Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, Anthony Hopkins, and Ben Kingsley.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. Who supposedly gets really angry if you don't call him sir.
Really?
Yeah, I read about that once.
Well, good thing. If he listens to this.
Yeah. I don't even know what it is. I probably should have watched the trailer. I apologize.
That's all good.
But there's nothing opening that week, so I'm probably going to have to see it anyway.
Yeah.
Because we're just being inundated by Jesus films. God's Not Dead Part 2.
Brutal.
What is with this?
I don't know, man. Jennifer Garner, she's actually the character from that movie, Men, Women, and Children, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And in a limited form, Everybody Wants Some.
Hey.
Yeah, the new Richard Linklater film. The spiritual successor to Dazed and Confused.
I read some crazy stuff from Twitter when this played.
I really need to see this now.
Yeah, me too.
I can't wait.
Yeah?
Probably my most anticipated film right now. Fuck that Batman film.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I gotta see this one.
I'd pick Batman in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Okay. That is it. Like, our next show is going to suck. Sorry, guys.
We apologize. We will talk about Batman versus Superman for 45 minutes.
I really hope there's some VOD stuff.
Yeah, that could happen.
That'd be
cool. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the invitation on April 8th.
Oh, yeah.
VOD from Drafthouse.
Nice.
Can't wait for that. But, yeah. Slim pickings, man.
Slim pickings. That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, but we had some good films in January and February.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You never know.
Who knows? That Collide movie might be good.
It could be.
But that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. All right. Well, I guess we can start to close out the show here. So just a friendly reminder, if you want to check us out anywhere else, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. We'd appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe, leave a comment. That helps us find a wider audience. We're also available on Facebook. Just run a search, The Green Screen of Death. And we have a Twitter account. It's @the_green_screen. You're on Twitter, right, Bill?
I am, @soundjam69. Approaching 100 followers.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Bring it on, dude.
And I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I don't do Twitter.
That's right.
Shout out to Adrian for... I saw on Twitter last week, you were on some other podcast.
Oh, yeah. I was on a wrestling podcast.
It's like, Adrian, what are you doing, dude?
I'm getting way, way into it, dude. So, yeah.
Not to cut you off, but next podcast, are we going to be able to record? Because isn't it WrestleMania weekend in two weeks?
Oh, shit. It is, actually. Oh, we might not be able to.
Some fucking white trash. Dude.
We could record before WrestleMania.
No, you'll be too hyped up, man.
Oh, dude.
You're going to be doing your Hulk Hogan imitation?
Hulk Hogan. That's WCW, son. What are you talking about?
I don't even know. I will say this. I do watch a little wrestling.
Nice.
I watch New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
With a buddy of mine at work.
Nice, yeah.
And I noticed that Shinsuke Nakamura is coming to the WWE.
That's right.
And he's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's funny that WWE is more about the storylines. Their wrestling is actually pretty bad compared to other wrestling organizations out there. There's one called Lucha Underground that's... taking wrestling by storm right now. They've got insane wrestlers that are just so much better than anybody in the WWE.
Taking it by storm.
Yeah, dude. I'll show you some cool clips, dude. You will lose your mind.
Hey, you gotta watch New Japan, man. New Japan's awesome.
I should get into that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're gonna like Shinsuke Nakamura.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Cool.
Enough wrestling talk.
That's enough.
at SoundJam69 on Twitter.
Yes.
What are you?
Yeah.
Sorry, I totally hijacked the shit.
It's all good. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm @Adrian_Charlie. So, yeah, I guess that's it. Episode 46 in the books.
Fuck David Krejci.
Yeah, fuck David Krejci, man. This is the fuck David Krejci episode. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.